Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Tuesday, March 22nd, day 12 of 9/11 on trial, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. We'd like to thank Dr. Stanley Monteith for having us on his show last night. It went wonderfully. There were some great callers. And one gentleman, he called from San Francisco, he said that every single day of his life, he goes out and tells people the truth about 9/11. And I know that rang clear here because every single day of our lives, too, when we're out in the public, we tell people the same thing, whether it's down on Penn State's campus, in town, up at the grocery store, wherever we go, we tell people about 9/11, and that's the way we're going to spread the word. So thank you to Dr. Monteith, to his listeners, and to his callers. It was a wonderful show, and hopefully soon we'll have it posted on our site.
We'd also like to urge all of you to get involved in saving Terry Schiavo's life. It's only through the collective public outrage, which is the biggest force there is, that we'll be able to make a difference in this woman's life. So, without any further ado, we are going to go to today's witness, number 8, Mr. Charles Bellman, and he will be giving testimony about symmetric versus asymmetric collapses. Now we can join the proceedings with Judge Alan Kirkpatrick.
Please be seated. Court is now in session. Today we will continue with the people's case against the United States federal government in regards to the events of September 11th, 2001 at the World Trade Center Towers in New York City. Let us proceed. Witness, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you, Your Honor. Witness number 8, please state your name for the record.
Charles Bellman.
Okay, Mr. Bellman, today's testimony will revolve around symmetric versus asymmetric collapses. My first question is this. What differences were there between the North Tower's collapse and that of the South Tower?
Well, the North Tower's destruction was symmetrical from its onset, but the South Tower's destruction began with its top tipping a little to the southeast.
Okay. Did the South Tower's tipping top fall over like a tree?
No. Instead of toppling, the top suddenly disintegrated and fell into the exploding tower.
I see. And how far did this top section of the South Tower actually tip over?
35 stories of the top section continued to tip about 23 degrees past vertical.
How far did this tilting section extend past the remaining part of the tower, which was still standing?
Well, at one point the upper segment was hanging over the edge by approximately 65 feet.
I see. Would you categorize this type of collapse as symmetric or asymmetric?
Obviously asymmetric.
Which means?
One side of the tower collapsed and began to fall before the other side did. It wasn't a clean, even break.
Okay. What would we expect of an asymmetrical collapse?
Well, any asymmetry would allow the force of gravity to work uninhibited to the tip of the skyscraper. Thus, the top section of the skyscraper would tip and fall sideways.
And why is that?
Well, this follows the laws of physics. As Isaac Newton explained, once an 87 million kilogram object starts to tip, only an equally incredible force in the opposite direction will stop the tipping.
Okay. This may be a silly question, but once the top of the South Tower started tipping all the way to 23 degrees past vertical, were there any forces at work that morning to push it back to center, say, like a giant hand which came out of the clouds?
There was no force up there except gravity, so there was nothing to stop the tipping.
Okay. Yet the top section of the tower didn't topple, did it?
In theory, the cap should have torn loose and independently fallen.
What prevented it from doing so, from falling over onto the streets of Manhattan?
The only thing which prevented it from tipping over was an independent and nearly simultaneous collapse of the core.
So when the top cap began to topple, if the core columns were suddenly destroyed, what would happen to this top section?
The collapse would continue vertically, in formation, with the rest of the structure.
Let me get this straight. At point A, we have the entire structure standing still. Then at point B, we have the upper section tilting to a point of 23 degrees past center. The laws of physics state, specifically Newton's first law of motion, that every object in a state of uniform motion tends to remain in that state of motion unless an external force is applied to it. This means that the top should have kept following its same path and fallen over onto the street. But then at point C, just moments later, the entire lower portion of the South Tower simultaneously collapsed. which allowed the top portion to drop vertically into its own footprint. Is this correct?
Yes. The simultaneous fall of the two sections tells a story. The center of gravity of the cap abruptly found a vertical path to the ground.
So the cap started falling sideways and suddenly fell straight down?
Yes.
All right, Mr. Bellman. The South Tower, then, in the blink of an eye, went from an asymmetrical collapse to a symmetrical collapse. How could this be?
Well, with no other forces acting upon it, gravity and momentum should have sent the enormous block of concrete and steel crashing down alongside the topless tower.
Okay, but that's not what happened, is it?
Instead of continuing to topple over, the massive block seems to have mysteriously self-destructed.
Are the laws of gravity and moving bodies being violated by this phenomenon?
Well, the law of preservation of angular momentum says that if you have a solid object and it has an angular momentum, it will preserve the angular momentum unless acted upon by a torque.
Is this what happened?
No, we see that it doesn't preserve that angular momentum. Instead, it stops rotating and stops rotating the other way.
If we adhere to the laws of physics, would another force have to act upon this falling upper section to serve as a torque to reverse the direction of its fall?
Yes.
Okay, what happened as the South Tower's cap changed direction?
Virtually, the entire top of the South Tower had been shattered before it even began to fall.
And how does this phenomenon coincide with the government's official story?
It's clearly impossible, according to the official theory.
Why?
Well, because the top is the piston that is supposedly hammering down and crushing the rest of the building.
All right. Can gravity alter a building's direction in mid-flight, then cause it to explode without an external impetus?
No, not if it's already disintegrating before it's even started to fall. I mean, gravity couldn't do that. Some of the form of energy had to break up the tower before it started to fall.
As this top section began to fall vertically, what also happened to it?
Large chunks of the steel-framed building were suddenly blown apart.
Tell us what happened after the top section began to tip.
First, we see the top of the building start to tip to one side as a monolithic block, which we would expect to continue to rotate and topple to the side. But instead, almost as soon as it starts to tip, the building below it starts to collapse, allowing it to drop straight down. There are very visible rings of explosions that start at the level where the building has begun to tip and travel rapidly down the building.
What ultimately happened to this top section?
Instead of continuing to topple to the side, the top portion actually telescopes into itself at the same time that it sinks effortlessly into the building beneath it.
So, did this top section remain intact as it fell vertically into the building below?
Remarkably, it did not.
What happened to it?
Before it disappears into an immense dust cloud, we see the distance between the roof and the bottom of the upper section actually collapse to less than half its original height.
So it's shrinking in size while also simultaneously falling. Is this possible under the law of physics?
This is especially remarkable because it is essentially in free fall at this point.
Which means?
There should be no internal forces causing it to collapse upon itself.
What we have then is the top section toppling over in one direction, then dropping straight down in a free fall, all the while exploding outward and collapsing upon itself, all with supposedly no external force acting upon it. Could all this have happened because of smoke and fire?
Smoke and fire don't normally cause large chunks of steel-framed buildings to suddenly blow apart. That usually only happens when explosives of some kind are involved.
I see. And how would all of these bizarre circumstances have been accomplished?
The only way to get the World Trade Center towers to drop straight down was to eliminate the central support structure. The best way to do that would have been to blast away at a portion of those 47 core columns, down near where they were anchored to the bedrock, causing the entire central core of the tower to abruptly drop a given distance.
Okay. If we discount the possibility of a controlled demolition, what other explanations are there?
Well, let's look at the North Tower.
The one whose top did not tip over?
Correct. Since there was no tilting of the North Tower, every column in the crash zone broke in a perfectly balanced manner.
How is this possible considering the World Trade Center's very strong design?
There were 47 columns in the interior and 236 columns along the outside. Since the crash zone of the North Tower was near the 96th floor, the columns in this area were thinner than the columns near the ground level. However, they were still so thick that it would require a significant amount of energy to break them. How did the fire break away so many columns? Did one column break, which then caused another column to break, and so on? If so, it is an amazing coincidence that the columns separated and were snapped in such a perfectly balanced manner that the top never tilted.
Plus, as we have already proven, the fires never reached anywhere near a high enough temperature to melt steel. Also, in later testimony, we'll show how the government's bolt theory is incredulous at best and a downright lie at worst. But first, let's examine some more scientific laws. Is it reasonable to say, Mr. Bellman, that the towers, without any outside force except fire, would have collapsed in their own footprint?
No. The collapses remain centered around their towers, vertical axes as they race to the ground.
Which means what?
The collapses followed what would have been the path of maximal resistance, unless the structure was being demolished ahead of the falling mass.
And why is this concept important?
Because physical processes follow the path of least resistance.
Which means?
Tall structures topple instead of crushing themselves. Without a controlled demolition, the tower's tops would have toppled, leaving standing their portions below the impact zones.
Please elaborate, Mr. Bellman.
Well, discounting demolition, the telescoping collapses mean that the towers would be collapsing through themselves, following the path of most resistance. That's not the way matter behaves. Even if the towers were made of toothpicks or butter, anything, they wouldn't collapse through themselves. They would topple one way or the other. And yet, you see this perfect dead-centered symmetry in both collapses, even in the south tower, which started to tip, but then became symmetric. That's exactly what controlled demolition seeks to achieve in order to minimize damage to adjacent structures.
I see. But the south tower was obviously asymmetric in its initial collapse. Can an asymmetric collapse suddenly become symmetrical?
Asymmetric damage cannot produce a symmetric result.
So if the top sections of each tower would have fallen straight down without any type of controlled demolition beneath it, what would have happened?
Well, if it did not tip, it would have ground straight through the building below. The gravitational potential energy of the upper stories would be coupled into the frame below, beginning to destroy it.
And what would the building below do?
The frame below would deflect elastically, absorbing energy in the process of deflecting. At weak points, the metal structure would break, but the elastic energy absorbed into the entire floor would not be available to do more destruction. Instead, it would be dissipated in vibration, acoustic noise, and heat.
Which ultimately means?
Eventually, this process would grind to a halt because the gravitational potential energy of a skyscraper is nowhere near sufficient to destroy its own frame.
And what would we have?
We would have the lower ground-level segments of the heavy steel inner columns that should have been left standing somewhat vertically like stray swizzle sticks.
So, instead of a total demolition collapse, some of the World Trade Center towers should have remained standing?
Given that the lower columns were radically thicker steel and obviously stronger, some of the columns should have still been standing, in some significant number.
But that's not what happened?
For the World Trade Center buildings to react the way they did, literally thousands of super heavy-duty joints and welds should have had to snap at precisely the same instant.
Which means what, sir?
It means that all 287 columns would have to have weakened to the point of collapse at the same instant to cause a telescoping scene in the North Tower.
But, as you've said, much of the inner core should have remained standing, yet both towers, plus World Trade Center 7, were completely destroyed. Is there any explanation other than a controlled demolition?
Of collapse causes other than controlled demolition, only earthquakes can cause the simultaneous damage needed to cause total collapse.
Then we need to ask this question, Mr. Bellman. Were there any reported earthquakes in Manhattan that you know of on the morning of 9/11?
No, ma'am, not that I'm aware of.
Thank you, Mr. Bellman. Thank you, Your Honor. No further questions.